Hi, I'm Jen. I'm an addict. My clean date's June 18th, 2009. I'm extremely nervous. I have to say that. Like, it makes me feel a little bit better just saying that. I don't know. This is like my least favorite thing to do. And like, what it really comes down to is like, I feel like I don't have a message, and I know that like, I have to stand up here and like share my experience, strength, and hope, despite like how uncomfortable I am. I was a little thrown off to be asked to speak, which I always am, but I'm here, I show up, and like that's the one thing that I've been taught is that like no matter what, I have to show up. Step 6 and 7, I've been saying all week that I feel like I wish I was talking about anything else, but like it didn't matter like what I was asked to speak on, I probably have the same feelings of like inadequacy. And so here I am, and those are my topics. I'm going to talk about like my experience with the steps, with all my steps, like especially like 4 and 5 and 6 and 7, they sort of like, it got to a point where like I had to work them because they were starting to work me. And I mean, I guess that's what 6 is about, is that like awareness became so painful. I was like at a point in my life where like there was a lot of insanity by choice, and I was playing a big part in it, and I don't know, I was in a lot of pain, and like it was a lot easier to focus on like somebody else's part than it was my own. And like the one thing that I've learned is that like relationships bring out defects, like they bring out my defects, because a lot of my defects, like, you know, they're my survival skills. So like they started a long time ago, like probably when I was a child, and like they were consequences of like my relationships then, like with my family members and like the people around me. And they truly were like what I felt I needed to survive, like what I needed to do to protect me. And it wasn't until like I got clean that I realized that, you know, it was also creating a lot of my own pain. So relationship was crazy. A lot of stuff was happening, a lot of insanity, a lot of people were involved, and it was crazy, and I was in a lot of pain. I was really in a lot of pain, and I'd finished my 4 and 5, and I kind of sat for a little bit, and like finally, like, you know, it's like, you know, where are the solutions? And they're in the steps. And so, you know, it might have been like partly like, you know, willingness, and like maybe it was like another part of like, you know, I just wanted to know the part I played, because like I didn't know what to do, and like I didn't want to make any choices, and I just didn't know, like no matter what anybody said, no matter who I called and I asked what to do, like, you know, I just wanted to know the part I played. And I sat and I like started writing on my step 6, and the way I did it out of the step working guide, but it was like modified, and I don't know, like, with step work, I'll write a little bit, and then I set it down, and then I'll write a lot, and, like, this step was the one step that, like, I sat and, like, wrote for a while. And, like, I always tell the story of, like, it was a Monday, and I decided, like, I was in so much fucking pain, like, I just needed some relief, that, like, I sat and wrote for 3 hours. And I don't necessarily, like, think that was probably the best thing, because, like, I ripped myself wide open. And I probably needed to be ripped open, but at the same time, it was, like, probably the most vulnerable I had felt. I was home alone. I had called a couple people, and I don't know. And the insanity continued. The insanity continued, because, like, when I was on 6, like, I had the awareness, but, like, I still had denial. And I kept wanting to, like, fight, like, some parts, and I, like, wanted to pick and choose what really was a defect and what really was, like, benefiting me. And, like, regardless if you told me that, like, this was hurting me, like, in my mind, I was, like, justifying that, like, you know, you just didn't get it. And, you know, there's this, like, infamous date, and it was August 18th last year, and I, like, got arrested. And I'm not going to go into a whole lot of details. There was a lot of confusion, a lot of pain, I thought I was doing what was best, and I ended up getting arrested. I got arrested the week after, and I ended up in jail clean. And then, it's just like the insanity continued. And I was let out on a fluke. Like, you know, I was on state parole, so like I knew my detainer was coming. And they accidentally sent the detainer to the wrong jail. They let me out at 10 o'clock at night. Like, I make a phone call, a friend picks me up, and like I'm trying to deal with this. And I have my state parole officer who, like, you know, I never really had this fantastic relationship with law enforcement because I always felt like they were out to get me. And like I was supervised out of this crazy office, and they went to bat for me. And they did everything they could to keep me out of jail. Like, after everything had happened, like, they had randomly stopped by, and, like, they went into this apartment, and, like, they saw and they sat with me for a couple hours, and it was like, you know, but there's, like, only so much they could do. And I had, like, all this confusion, all this pain, and all I wanted to do was run. Because that's all I've ever known. And it's not that, like, I wanted to run like I had ran before. It's that I just didn't know what to do. And my life got flipped upside down. Everything in my life was flipped upside down. I had to move, so like they let me out, and like we're waiting, and they're doing everything they can, and they're trying to like talk to judges and see like how we can work around this. And it's just, you know, like I had to show up for life. I had to show up for life. And so, like, you know, here I am, filled with all this fear and all this pain and all this like entitlement, self-righteousness, and all these defects, and like I want to sit in self-pity, and I don't want to do anything, and like I have to show up. Like, I have to call my old job, and I have to go wait on tables, and I have to smile at people, because like I have to take care of myself. I have to go to meetings. I have to reach out. I can't isolate. And like, you know, sometimes I wanted to, but like through working some stuff, I had some truly amazing people in my life. And every day I hated, and it wasn't just the circumstances. Like, it just so happened that I had some insane circumstances going on in my life when I was, like, working on this step. But, like, what it really did is it, like, set a stage for me to make a choice. And, like, I really had to, like, exhibit some willingness. And I had to go out on faith and find strength that I didn't even know I had. And I continued to show up. I moved, even though I didn't want to move. So, like, you know, the consequences are is that, like, if you have a pending charge, regardless, and you're on state parole, like, you have to go to jail. And they put me on an ankle bracelet. But, like, the judge wasn't okay with that. And I went to jail. And I was kind of cut off from everything. And, like, it was all these opportunities that at any given time in my life, like, I would have used as excuses. And, like, I'll keep talking about, like, entitlement and self-righteousness. Like, I'm right. And, like, I have these morals and values. And, like, you know, you have to see this. And, you know, anytime I thought I was going to go to jail, I, like, felt that that gave me, like, I was entitled to use. And so here I am clean. And, like, I didn't do anything wrong and I'm in jail. And, like, I really struggled. I was, like, cut off from the world. Like, I would call, you know, my home groups on Tuesdays. And I would call my sponsor Tuesday night. Because, like, we all happened to get there, like, between, like, about 2 hours to an hour before the meeting. And that was, like, my contact with the outside world. And, like, I just needed to know that, like, I wasn't alone. But I get transferred to another county. And, like, it was different. And, like, you know, like, I get really annoyed and, like, you know, and who am I to judge? But when, like, people go to jail and they're like, oh, this happened, blah, 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 blah. And that wasn't, like, my experience, but what happened was, like, I was locked up alone, and I was, like, on a cell block with all these women that are, like, coming off of their addiction, and I have, like, 4 years clean, and I feel broken and scared, and, like, people want to talk about recovery, and that was my choice, and, like, I really had to pray, and I, like, started praying really hard in there. I really did. No, I was in a jail that, like, you know, does not have an H&I commitment for Narcotics Anonymous, does not supply basic text, does not anything. And, like, when I got out, I went to that H&I conference, and I, like, tried to see if there was, like, any, you know, way to help them there. But everything worked out. I was given a chance, due to my behavior. And, like, I would be lying if I didn't sit there and, like, say that, like, all I wanted to do was have, like, I wanted to be shown that I was right. I wanted all of you to know the exact truth of what happened. And there came a point where, like, that was irrelevant. Because of, like, insanity that I chose to participate in, I lost my freedom. My life was flipped upside down. I devastated my daughter. My family was really hurt. So, like, my grandparents, like, you know, with all these, like, my grandparents, like, play a big part in my life. And my family's extremely codependent. And, you know, that's one of those defects that I really had to do a lot of work on to stay clean this time. Because, like, if I didn't recognize that codependency with my family from day one, because every time I was in and out of these rooms, like, I couldn't, like, set that boundary. It just didn't work. And, you know, I'd, like, distance myself from them in order to try to rebuild a healthy relationship. And it's not healthy, but it's a lot healthier than it ever has been. And, you know, my grandfather was obsessed with my sisters and I, and he was really stressed out. My sister was on the run at the time. He didn't know what to do. Like, my grandma said he stopped sleeping, and, like, you know, it's one thing, like, when we're out using, and, like, you know, we have those chemicals to numb us, but I was clean, and I got to see, like, the damage that's caused, because, like, a lot of my disease is my defects. It wasn't really the chemicals. And so I got to see behaviors and, like, consequences that people, like, I caused real pain. And, you know, everything works out with jail and, like, so everything works out. And then not only does it work out, like, I get released off parole for good behavior. I every day I showed up uncomfortable, and every day, like, I walked through this fear, and, I end up, like, you know, it's something I worked hard for and I deserved, and I thought I was going to lose that. But I didn't. And, you know, it was like I've yet to have, like, a time to breathe sometimes, I feel that. Because, like, life doesn't give you, like, vacations. And, you know, like, 7 was, like, me trying to strive to, like, not... What it came down to is I didn't want to feel the way I felt. And so if, like, my behaviors, regardless of whether I wanted to deny them, were causing me the pain they were causing me, because, like, I can see pain I cause you, but, like, you know, like, I get reminded that, like, in the wreckage of our past and all that, but, like, I don't really focus on me. But when I was feeling that pain, that, like, I didn't know what to do, like, I had to try something different. I really had to become willing. And the humility came in when I, like, really had to ask for help. That, like, I can't do things different. Like, my first go-to, without even thinking, is, like, these defects. And so, like, you know, I'm, like, trying to work things out in life. And, like, I keep showing up, and I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know which direction I'm going. And I still have some pain from, like, those things, but, like, I really try to heal, because, like, I know another, like, defect is that, like, self-pity. And, like, I feel like, you know, somebody owes me something. And I ended up, like, January, like, one of my biggest fears, like, was, like, something would happen to my grandparents, and I don't want to cry. And my papa had a stroke, and like, he died 3 weeks later, and that was, like, one of my reservations. I didn't have a lot of reservations. It was basically, like, my grandparents and my daughter. Like, I buried a sister. So, like, not saying that I wouldn't use over, like, my sister dying, but, like, I walked through that, so I, like, felt like I knew what to expect. And, you know, like, he had this stroke, and he's in Pittsburgh, and, like, I'm the only one that's showing up. And, like, my grandma's coming, but, like, she's not coming as much as I thought she should be. And, like, I felt alone. And, you know, like, I have all these abandonment issues. And so when I feel like you abandoned me, like, I want to hurt you. And, like, I didn't. Like, I didn't flip out on my grandma. I didn't tell her, like, how I really felt. Like, I, like, utilized the people in my life, and I leaned on them. And, you know, he died. He didn't get better. And I didn't use. And it was painful. It was painful. You know, I have these moments where, like, I want to give up. And it's like, I don't know. I know I'm not perfect. And, like, I never am going to be. And, like, one of the things that I'm, like, working on now is that, like, I still have these defects. And, like, if we're not going anywhere. And, like, if I have this faith and this willingness. And, like, if I can talk honestly. Like, if I don't have honesty, like, I don't know how I would be at this point at all. And, like, my layers of honesty has grown because I didn't come in here honest, like a lot of us say. But sometimes it's just like that vulnerability and that trust that, like, I have to really tell you what's really going on. I have to really tell you what I'm really feeling, because if I don't, I'm going to act like an asshole, and then I'm going to try to cover it up. And I just have, like, so one of the things I asked, and, like, I didn't even think of this, is, like, I was so nervous. And so, like, there's nothing anybody could say, and I, like, asked a bunch of people. I was like, you're still going to love me if I choke, right? If I choke on this, you guys are going to love me afterwards. And they were like, yeah. And that's what it is that, like, regardless, like, I have faith. And, like, if I turn to, like, a power greater than me, and, like, that change is uncomfortable. That change is uncomfortable. You know, I thought I was in danger of using, like, in the beginning when, like, I had that obsession. But it's like that pain of not changing. Like, I couldn't stay clean and not grow, because, like, I would just use. That would be my only other alternative. And it's not always what I want to do. But I just, like, on a daily basis. Like, I'm not perfect. Sometimes I forget. And sometimes I want to pretend like I'm right and, like, you're wrong. And, like, this helps me deal with you, too. Because, like, now that I can, like, recognize my defects and I'm working on them, I try to have a little bit more compassion and tolerance. I fall short on that. And with certain people, because I have expectations. But, like, I've applied that with my family. And, like, that was, like, my first truly unhealthy relationship was with my family. And, like, it's been baby steps. It's been baby steps. I don't know, I'm grateful for, like, the growth, I'm grateful for the pain, and, like, every time that I have to face something, that all I want to do is run, and I don't, like, not show up on life, because, like, running could be, like, me laying in my bed, and, like, crying, and I show up, like, I get to see that, like, I'm making progress, and it didn't kill me. I don't know, I'm really grateful to be here, and that's all I have.
Okay, next up is Brandon C. from Recovery in Clearview, Butler area of NA.
I'm Brandon, I'm an addict. A quick moment of silence. Let me get out of the way real quick. All right, thanks. I don't know, I too still get fairly nervous for this, and the thing that's been, like, helping me lately, I'm real good with, like, analogies, because I don't know if, like, I have trouble applying it to, like, real-world situations, so I got to apply it to, like, something similar that's a little bit more tangible for me. But I keep going back to this whitewater rafting trip that a group of us did, did last spring, and the analogy was, like, we're going down to this river, and having fun, and I'm in the back, and we go over, I think it's called a hydraulic, where it sends, like, the back person in the air, and I come down, and I'm going, like, backwards off the raft, and in times of, like, panic, in times of nervousness, in times of struggle, like, I'll just, like, reach out and grasp anything, if it's a higher power, if it's a we, if it's a sponsor, support member, reach out and just grab for anything, and then, and at that moment, as I'm going backwards off the raft, what I'm flailing and reaching, and what my hand lands on is like the bare skin of the inner thigh of my buddy. And and like out of like sheer terror, like I didn't remove it right away. I like freak out and say like, you saw what was going on. I was falling right. And he goes, it'll cease being so awkward when you let go. And like that's like life. Like I can't wrap around like not getting wound up for this. But like I can see like, okay, let go. Because it's good, like when God steps in and gets flowing, and I agree, like what Jen was saying, like faith for me isn't like the absence of fear, like the faith for me is like stepping out into it, knowing that God's got me anyway. So I don't know. I guess get started. I'm gonna go a little bit, bounce around a little bit because I don't know. I guess that's just what I'm gonna do. So like I was doing like this step 11 and like it brought me to like some outside reading and kind of like opened my mind up to like what God is to me, and instead of just I had this like just real broad general idea that, you know, it was just some old looking guy that looked like Albus Dumbledore from Harry Potter, and that was God, and that was, you know, and he was loving and caring, and that was about as far as I got into it. Then I started doing some reading and talking to some other people, and like it became evident that, like, you know, like, that I'm going to use like God and just like the universal flow of love, like synonymously, like God is love to me, and with that little bit more of an understanding, like it kind of got me to like almost like go back and like rework, re-understand some of the other steps. So like to me, when we're talking about like defects and shortcomings, like I had to go back and almost look at like step two when it says restored to sanity. Like, where was I sane? Like, what did sanity look like? What does my true character, my true spirit look like? And I had to go back. I mean, for a while I was so broken. I came into thinking I was never sane, that I was just going to be a fixer upper all my life. But like, I looked like early on in my life, like you know, childhood, like what was my character, like what was I made up of before like the disease came to play, and what I saw was like happiness, honesty, and love, you know what I mean? I mean, as a kid, and like somewhere like the shift came in from like love, happiness, and honesty to you know. It all started like when I stopped like living like outside myself and enjoying life, to like retreating like inside my head, and with like before like the disease of addiction, like diseased thinking, and then like I go from like love, honesty, and like freedom to like, you know, like views of inadequacy, insecurity, separateness, fear, anger, and that whole shift right there. And you know, that's when like I started stepping away from my character, and I started buying into a lot of the stuff I was telling myself. So in order to get a solution to the problem I created with my own diseased thinking, like drugs became a real good idea. And so like through the drug use, I get to, you know, work in the steps. It brought me to NA, brought me to where the solution's at. So like today, like with this little bit of a newer understanding, which I'm still growing into, still working with, like today, or wait, we'll go another step back real quick. Like to simplify it, like I was talking to somebody like step six, like before I got into like out of the step working guide, he said was like, you know, define like the man you want to be, define who you want to be, the principles you want to incorporate in your life, the principles you want to reflect onto the world. And like, so like I wrote on that, I wrote on the man I wanted to be, things that I thought were you know, good to have, and then I wrote on like all the things that I have at the moment that are preventing me from being that person, and like those are like my defects. Like when I choose to and sometimes I gotta like, sometimes I can say a lot of stuff and I don't really even know what I mean. So sometimes I have to like, I say like defect, I say surrender, I say this or that. Sometimes I have to like define it for myself, and like, when I defect from my character, when I act out in a character defect, like a defect for me is like the stepping aside or the abandonment of like morals and principles that like are true to me, but like become less important based out of I don't even know. But like, so like a character defect to me is just like anything where I like defect from like the universal flow of love. You know what I mean? So like, I have like anger, like procrastination, dishonesty, ego. And it's crazy with ego, because like I saw this bumper sticker that like summed it up like so well for me, because like I say insecurity, anxiety, all fear, but yet ego at the same time, and like this bumper sticker like summed it up perfectly. It said like, I may not be much, but I'm all I ever think about, and it's true. Like I said, even young, before drugs, like, you know what I mean? Like, were they laughing with me or were they laughing at me? You know what I mean? Did I wear the right like outfit to speak in? You know what I mean? Should I put hair gel in for this? Just all kinds of stuff. When I become like inside my head, and like you know, another thing that I do with that ego thing, like I was doing some reading and it talked about like, because I don't like, sometimes I don't, because I'm not cocky, I think that maybe I don't have like an ego, but like I think I may have an ego. Because like always feeling like I have to be on the defense. Like, what am I defending? You know, spiritual principles speak for themselves. So if I'm living in a principled manner, I don't always need to be on the defense. But like due to like my past and addiction, like I hate feeling less than. I hate feeling not a part of. And so I don't know why I jump on the defense to that quite a bit. And another thing I do, like I said, like with the insecurity and the ego, a lot of times like I and the separateness, feeling that like I'm not a part of, or they're better than me, they're different. And that was one of the things that like drove me out many times, because people would come up to the podium, and it's real common, people go like, you know, I'm going to qualify myself. So like everything they just spat out that qualified them is what I used to like disqualify myself, because like, you know, I didn't shoot dope in my neck until I heard people from the podium say it. So when I relapsed, like I did it just so I could share about it, because it sounded badass. So I did that once so I could share about it later on if I ever made it back. But like, you know, I was never homeless. I was never, you know, I didn't do like bricks upon bricks a day. So like all that qualifying that everybody does, like I was convinced myself that like apparently I'm not qualified to be here. So like I try to like identify, like I let you know like a little bit about me, so like you maybe see what the program of NA is capable of and can do for, you know, just like a hopeless dope fiend like me. And but like I said, I have a problem with like not feeling a part of, feeling less than. So, but like I noticed, like when I'm putting anybody on a pedestal or making them special, you know, and believing in that separateness, no matter if it's because of like their haircut, all the tattoos they have, what they post on Facebook, or how many years clean they have, like I'm buying into like a misconception of like separateness. But like what I got to realize is like how like it says like the principles before personalities. Like anonymity to me isn't about not repeating what I say when I leave. It's about like equality. And like that's what I got to remember, because I got to remember like we're all equal, and like the love I like in like Jeff, and the love and the light in Danny is like the same light that's in me. You know what I mean? It's just like maybe I haven't like uncovered it yet, and you know, that's what gives me like the courage to like, you know, like keep going, because like I don't really like speaking either, but like, you know what I mean? Like the principles before personalities, and knowing that I'm just, you know, it's the message. I really can't butcher it that much. I'm just the messenger. And you know, like knowing that like that light that I love and all those guys, you know, maybe present in me, but like I said, like with my diseased thinking, like I can separate myself from that. And like when I separate myself from everybody else by like putting them on pedestals and thinking that this person's different and this guy's a spiritual guru and this and that, like I'm separating myself from like universal flow of love. You know what I mean? And like, you know, if I can't be like, you know, I wouldn't accept like that kind of treatment coming from like a lot of you, but like, you know, I'm not much of a friend to myself a lot of times with, you know, and that's the thing too. People are like, you know, like behave, God's watching, or, you know, stuff like that. And like I've gone through some stuff where like I really wasn't real cool with God for a minute or two. And, you know, so like I need to develop, like for me, it, you know, it's a lot easier to like follow in like an internal compass, spiritual compass, than like an external dogmas and commandments. So for me, like I don't like not cheat on my girlfriend because of how much I respect her. Like I don't cheat on my girlfriend because I respect myself. You know what I mean? Like I don't steal my boss's money when she's drunk and drops it all over the floor because I think anything of her. It's because like I think something of myself. And I found that to be, because like I said, I don't know what I'm going to go through that like I'm blaming God for. And like I think he's cool with that, because like anything I go through just brings me closer to him in the long run. You know what I mean? He's okay with like me questioning some stuff. And it's cool because like we were up at camp and talking to somebody and we were saying, man, I think I'm going to probably cry when you share. And just talking about it, we both got emotional. And like the cool thing is like that empathy and openness, like we go through so much together, and it, I don't know if it's the pain, empathy, whatever, it carves like such a space in our spirit. But the flip side where we don't label anything as like a good or a bad thing, like that carved pain, that carved space leaves us like so open to be touched with like love, moments of intimacy, connections. And like that's the thing like I strive for. And not so much material stuff. I've been going through a lot of like, you know, how I treat myself, like, you know, is this where I should be with like 9 years clean? Should I still be living at home? Should I still work at a supermarket? Should I still have an associate's, but you know, too afraid to do anything with it? And that's all like comparison stuff for me, because like I think I should be here, I think I should be there. My people in high school are doing this or doing that, but like I don't know. Like society may not see like a big value in like spiritual growth or sponsorship, but I know it like keeps me going. I think like sponsorship and spiritual growth are going to fill me more than a bigger paycheck or an apartment where I can live by myself. Just to say I have an apartment and I live by myself. I don't know. Those are the kind of things that like make me tick and are gratifying to me, because like we talk about like, you know, the newcomer is the most important member, and we can only keep what we have by giving it away. And to me, that means like I'm going to go through stuff that like I don't get through on my own. You know what I mean? So it's important for me to like give it away so that you're there to like save my ass when I need you to. And I get real fidgety when I'm up here. So I asked the sponsee, hey, you got a key tag on you. And so I got my sponsee's key tag with me. And it just so happens it was 18 months, and I told another sponsee this story, and I think he really believed me. I know it's not necessarily true, but I told him, I'm like, you know what's special about the 18 month key tag, right? And he's, no, what is it? I said, it's the only one with the silver writing on it. And he's like, oh, cool. And that part is true. Why is that? I was like, I said, because there's silver writing on it, because like inside any great cloud, there's always a silver lining. And you know, like sponsorship, you know, giving back, feeling a part of, like that's my silver lining, man. You know what I mean? When I'm able to like give a piece of me, you know what I mean, it comes back. It's a reciprocating thing. You know what I mean? It maybe a lot of effort at first, you know, just going around like planting seeds. But like, you know, somebody brought up the H&I conference, like just like we talked about there, you know, it's just about planting seeds. And just like a farmer, like we don't know which ones are going to grow. Like our responsibility, like it says in like the third tradition, is just simply to like fan the flames. You know what I mean? Like I don't know which sponsee is going to get it. I don't know, you know, am I wasting my time, my this and my that? Like all we're doing there is to like encourage, nourish, and like show love. And if they get it, they get it. And somebody brought up too, like, yeah, and just like a farmer, like just because we plant a seed doesn't mean there ain't a layer of shit we need to get through. And I guess that was like a manure reference. I didn't get it at first, but like, so that like reminds me to like, you know, be patient and tolerant, because like I said, I had these like defects I started out with, and then like I had like some defects. Or it's not even like I was aware of the defects. Like I started noticing a lot of shortcomings, and like, you know, some people tell you that they're the same thing because like that's how they were wrote, however many years ago. But like, I don't know. I've heard a lot of people share that I heard the analogy that like the defect is the flat tire and the shortcomings driving on it. And you know what I mean? Like, so like the defect for me a lot of times is like anger, and the shortcoming is like sarcasm, condescension, passive aggressiveness. You know, the defect is fear, and like the shortcoming is like avoidance. procrastination, complacency. So, like, I'm noticing, like, a lot of shortcomings in my life, and because, like, it's been a minute since I've worked this step, like, I've been, like, wrestling with, like, all these on my own, and, like, I got to remember, like, the key for me back when I was, like, working step seven wasn't, like, wrestling it on my own and trying to, like, master it. It was, like, I had somebody ask me a lot. They're like, I'm having a lot of trouble. I'm full-blown aware of these defects, but, like, I have no idea what to do with them, how to get them to leave. And, like, for me, the most important thing for me, if God's truly going to remove the shortcoming, like, the physical acting out on the defect of it, then I need to, like, shift. Like, there's a spiritual principle of, like, abstinence. Like we hopefully get a good understanding of that early on in recovery when we're no longer using. And, like, so for me, like, a lot of people flip and use, like, the spiritual opposite of the defect, but just to get the ball rolling, I need to just act out on the spiritual principle of, like, abstinence and simply, like, put it down. Like just as foreign as it is for, like, somebody to, like, you know, cock off and say something smart and me, like, not to respond in anger and hit them, just as foreign as that was, like, it was, like, foreign to be, like, walking down the street, somebody offering, like, hey, you looking, you know, that was enough to cause, like, a full-blown anxiety attack in early recovery where I'm on the phone, like, and just as how it didn't feel right, like, later in the day, like, man, I don't know, like, maybe I should have, like, no one would have known, and, like, same with, like, not acting out on the defect, same as, like, not saying something smart back to that guy, same as, like, not picking up that money that was dropped on the floor. Just as that is foreign, it becomes more natural over time. And as I do my part, show my humility and refrain from all that stuff, because, like, God is not going to, like, rip it out of my hands as I'm grasping onto it and utilizing it every day. If I, like, incorporate the spiritual principle of, like, abstinence and just refrain from it and allow it to become, like, a natural pattern for myself, like, my buddy calls it, like, the Huck Finn moment. Like, God will paint your fence for you. You know what I mean? Like, just don't act out on it, and like, that the shortcoming will be removed. I think, like, the defect, this is my opinion, it's cool if you don't share it, but, like, I think the defect's always going to be there available for me to act out on, you know? Just as how I will always be an addict internally, and, like, the option to use will always be there. But, like, through spiritual principles, connecting back with love, connecting with my higher power, you know, I'll be a whole lot less prone to act out on them. And I don't know. I'm trying to think if there's anything else I was getting to. But I don't know. I bring my book up every time. I think I just do it because a lot of people I like listening to do, and it looks cool. So I've yet to read anything out of it. But I don't know. I'm drawing a blank, and like I said, I don't mind doing it when God's going, but when I start got up pulling for stuff and it's me up here, it gets a little weird. And and the other thing, though, I'm okay with weird. Most of the time, I am. Because, like, the thing, okay, I'll go a little bit more. The thing is, with, like, uncluttering your spirit, like somebody talked about earlier, like, how, like, 4, 5, 6, and 7 were, like, so critical. Like, after, like, uncluttering your spirit and, like, finding out who I truly am, like, then I had to, like, work on, like, self-acceptance and see that, like, it may be weird and it may be a little bit different, but that's what makes me me. And the people that, like, I really like, you know, they may be a little bit quirky, but, like, the thing I like is, like, I don't need, like, a speaker to, like, blow my mind or, like, change my life or something. I like when they're, like, vulnerable, authentic, and genuine. So, like, that's what, like, some of the people I like the most, they might be a little bit different, but, like, they're themselves. And, you know, for a while, I thought, like, when I went through, like, interferon, it like, screwed up, like, my circuitry inside, that, like, I became, like, this, like, real sensitive, emotional guy. And, like, my sponsor said, you know, like maybe you need to look at it as, like maybe, like, that's your gift. Like maybe you being able to, like, connect, get vulnerable, and like, be open is a gift. And, like it was pretty cool. It took me a while to, like, get to that, but, like my current sponsor was, like, sharing, and he said, he's like, it's like something, like, he's learned to become okay with his, like, feeling his emotions, being raw and being vulnerable. And he's like, and I especially learned it, like, through like, dealing with my sponsee, and, like, to be able to just, like, I think like that's like our greatest gift is like being ourselves, and like the message we give up here is great, but the greatest message we live in life is how we live. So by like reconnecting with love, and one thing I didn't really get with, I didn't really like too much, because I thought it was like real tacky, real phony, and I thought it was just lip service to, I don't know, get a bigger round of applause at the end, was when like people would be up here and say like, you know, if no one told you they loved you today, I love you. I thought that was bogus and phony, or you know, I love you all, and to me, like, and some people may truly do, it didn't register to me. And like the thing I'm connecting to with, like, you know, how some people say we all have a little bit of God within us, and if my higher power is going to be like the universal flow of love, then like maybe it makes a little bit more sense to me. Like some people say, like, you know, love is always the answer regardless of the problem. And so like unconditional love, you know, love for everybody, like how does that make sense? Is it even a good idea? And like through like kind of like sitting and meditating on that, like to me strictly loving everybody is kind of tough, but you know, coming from a place of love in my heart, that like love is like the prism which all my actions shine through, makes a lot more sense. It's like how the sun shines. The sun doesn't shine any more preferably on any one of us, you know what I mean? And like that's how I want my life to be, you know what I mean? Because like when I act out, like not only does it hurt you, but it hurts me, because I hold myself higher than that. So like I just want my life to be a reflection of like God's love for me, the reflection of love. Like I may not be able to love every single one of you, but I'm able to live in like a loving manner, you know what I mean? And that's all I'm trying to do. And like it's a real beautiful thing to you know, I live real close to like a halfway house, and we get our share of like you know, thugs and you know all this and that. So to watch all these like hardened people come in bitching about the stinky sneakers in the room and somebody stole my vape and this and that, and to come in and just try to be an example of love, and like, you know, I got sponsees and each and every one of them know that I love them, and just to see the trickle down effect that you know, to watch that embrace outside of a meeting, to see them be comfortable talking about love with their sponsees, it's just a real beautiful thing. And you know, I'm not Shakespeare with the words, but I feel if I can you know, get guys to open up to intimacy and open up to love and let God do the rest and help them not use in the process, then maybe I don't need to be a CEO. Maybe my life will be fulfilling just in that. And, that's all I got.